Roll call.
Roll call. Chairman James DeLon.
Here.
Deputy Chair Thomas Corcoran. Legislator Peter Criswell.
Here.
Legislator John Peretti.
Yep.
Legislator Mary Warrow.
Here.
Legislative Chair David Donaldson. Sorry.
Well, thank you all for being here tonight. We only have one motion, and that is approving the execution of a work order with the Dormitory Authority, State of New York, related to capital project number 486, window replacement project, amending project number 486, window replacement project for Jacob Hardenberg Hall, amending the capital fund budget, SUNY Ulster. Doctor, do you want to update us on this?
Window project? I think Jamie.
No.
Okay.
So this is an amendment. It's a $150,000 amendment. What we're looking to do is do casement style windows. This is the best practice in active shooter situations where the window will fully open to allow egress access out of the window. This is also a requirement for any P-12 involvement. We're looking to expand operations potentially with PTEC in order to do those types of things. We need to have these windows installed. Since we're doing window project now, DASNY is recommending we do this as part of the window project rather than coming back later to potentially install these. We anticipate code changes in the higher education code to bring higher education code in line with K-12 current code standards, which require egress window access for all students. And this would be one egress window within each classroom space and office space in Hardenberg Hall.
And the funding, this DASNY is doing the construction management.
Correct.
Take it of this.
Yep.
And this was the funding source for this.
So it's capital funding, so it's 50% county, 50% state. And then DASNY handles the allocation. The funding is allocated to DASNY. Then they work with their consultant firms, their contract firms, their design firms to incorporate the full construction for the project.
The cost listed here would be the county.
This is the total cost. The 150 is the total cost, which is then split.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We have a motion.
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Thank you.
Some other people from college, as long as
pass this around. Pardon me?
I'll give you a few other updates on the college.
Yes, please.
There was an article in Times Union, I don't know. I got a chance to see it. They did a scan of all 30 community colleges, and it did an enrollment reflection back over 10 years. And it showed the average loss of enrollment for community colleges was 23%. Now, that's a big hit for a community college. It's like taking 25% of your family income. You take that out and try to run your budget. They had, in Plattsburgh, Clinton had lost 60% of their enrollment. They listed them from the highest loss to the lowest loss, and I'm very happy to see that we were the second from the bottom.
You were on the right on the bottom.
We were on so the, yeah. So we were very proud of that.
Yeah.
So in 10 years, we only lost 4% as opposed to the average of 23. But even if you look at the last 5 years, we've actually gained about 10%. So things are looking pretty good enrollment wise.
What do you attribute that to?
Doing a lot of different things. You know, we went to the prison, the adult market, a lot of marketing for the older student. Mm-hmm. We have a grant, it's called the New Start for Women, where the Noble Foundation gave us $1 million, just $1.5 million, just to handle a underemployed working women. It's more of us than working poor who has families. So that's
cool.
Bringing
so
in
a new audience. New audience.
Now, and that's what it is, just being able to reach out to the different markets.
Interesting.
I attribute it to new leadership. I mean, not that the previous leadership wasn't, but I mean, this is about the same, that 5 years is about the same time frame. Dr. Roberts has been there. We have the new dean of administration that's been there a little over a year now. And so can't take credit for those 5 years. But, I mean, things are on the way up because of many of the things.
I appreciate that. But it's a team, it really is.
It's right.
You know, and even, you know, everything the legislature has done, you know, the county exec, it's been supported. When you look at the dollars that you've given us for capital, it's just unbelievable. I went to a president's meeting the last 2 days ago, and the major concern was capital projects because these 30 community colleges are literally crumbling, and the counties are not putting in their share. I have to sit there quiet.
Yeah.
Because what you guys have done for us is absolutely remarkable. So it's, you know, we're in pretty good shape right now. You know, and I try not to talk too much to my colleagues, so they want to know what the magic sauce is. You know, just working together, I guess.
How do you feel about your technology infrastructure?
Very good. We have a foundation, and they have $1 million in a fund that we just draw the interest off, and we use that just for advanced technology. Plus, we've been able to, you know, through capital projects, upgrade our technology. So we're doing well with technology.
That's great.
No issues at all.
And we're advancing through our facility master plan. We're actually doing a subcommittee dedicated directly to technology in the classroom. So what technology needs are forthcoming, what do we need to do to get ahead of that, and that subcommittee group will be harnessing kind of all of the support through the facility master plan to really focus on that and say, how do we take our facility strategic plan, master plan, and technology plan and align all of that together.
That's great.
Yeah.
You know, something we're doing new in the fall is there's a program called PTEC, which is BOCES, and it's for students who have dropped out in ninth grade. They recruit them back in, and they make them sign a contract. It's a six-year program. They start in ninth grade, and they go all the way through a community college. So in 6 years, they get their high school plus their college degree. There's about 90 kids in the program. This year, we were locating them right in the middle of our campus. So a couple things. We've got a captured audience for enrollment. Second is BOCES pays us to be there.
That's great.
So now we're going to be able to use the cafeteria more. We're going to be able to utilize our facilities. You know, you look at a loss of population, so you look, you know, we have more and more space. So we have to look at new ways to bring in more students. You know, if they're high school students, they still need what we offer. So I think we're going to see more and more of that kind of
stuff. Well, stemming the tuition increases a few years ago made a big difference, I think, too.
Yeah.
I mean, the county increased their investments.
Yeah.
Tuition increases didn't continue. And listen, you guys are in a uniquely difficult position. Because the kids in Southern Ulster County go to Orange.
Right.
Kids in Western, you know, Ellenville area go to
Sullivan.
Western New York, they can go to Delaware or over to Columbia Green. And so it's uniquely placed in the center of Ulster County as it should be. But it makes your job.
Yeah, it's more challenging. Yeah.
More challenging to keep your students. And it's, I saved that. Didn't even know I was going to be doing this. But I saved it because it's good.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Yeah. We appreciate, again, the support that you guys have given us has been great.
Yeah. I want to recognize Brian.
I'm Brian Cahill. I was on the legislature 12, 14 years ago, and I served on the committee that had the college as part of it. And one of the things that they always gave us was the FTEs. Now, you talked about the enrollment not going down. Are you still comparing FTEs, or is that's how you do it?
Yeah. Okay. Actually, our head count has changed significantly. If 10 years ago, if you look at the number of full-time students, it was probably 65% of our population.
Right.
The rest were part-time and collegiate programs. Now it's just flip-flopped. So we're about 65-70% part-time. So what that does, it causes a few other problems for us. We have the same number of FTE, but you have more students.
Mm-hmm.
So you require more services, more outreach, more counseling, more everything for
more
a student.
More classes, more campus open longer,
more services
around it, right?
Right.
So there's more challenging, but we still keep that same benchmark. FTE is what we're counting.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Doctor. We also have Jared Bono from Cornell Cooperative, who asked to come here tonight and speak to us about programming and where you folks are at.
Oh, okay.
I'll get in touch with you. Thank you.
Yeah, I can do that before you forget the minutes.
Yes. Oh, geez, I was so excited. Right. So we have the minutes from December 9th.
I'll second it.
Great. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We're good. All right, Jerry.
Hi, everybody. I wanted to introduce myself to some of the legislators. My name is Jared Bono. I'm a hydrologist by training. I'm the executive director over at Cornell Cooperative Extension for the last 2 years. I imagine you're familiar with Extension, but in a nutshell, we take the latest research-based, evidence-based programming from Cornell University and bring it to the community here in the county. And at the same time, our programs on the ground inform future research at Cornell to help lives of New Yorkers. Been here for over 100 years. We're kind of a unique beast in that we're a subordinate government agency that enjoys the rights of a nonprofit, but we're not a chartered nonprofit. We predate the Charities Bureau and many other things, so anytime you need a further explanation of what we are, I'm happy to take a couple hours to sit with you. We have a lot going on in 2020, thanks to county support. Lots of interesting program meeting the needs of what's coming up in Ulster County. A lot of new programs for farming. We've got a new and beginning farmer class next week starting.
Great.
For the first time in a generation, we're seeing an increase in the number of new young farmers. We've been hemorrhaging farmers for years. So in Ulster County, maybe a change from some of the larger farmers, but a lot of small acreage farmers, people are coming into the county and they need resources.
Thank you.
So we provide those. We also do a lot. We're 4-H, one of the largest youth development organizations in the world. And right now we have about 300 enrolled kids and parents and volunteers in Ulster County. A lot of programs happen here and all throughout the year and at the fair. So I'm going to invite you to one of those. You might know about Ag Literacy Week. Every week across New York State, we read to kids in classrooms about the importance of agriculture in their communities. Last year in Ulster County, we reached 1,400 kids. We're in every single school district in Ulster County. So if you'd like to read, many of the legislators have read before. I have a letter inviting you and some enticing materials if you're interested. We always need people to go and read. It takes maybe an hour or two, but gets in the classroom and connect with kids on agriculture. Oh, I can talk for a long time.
I read about a cool program that you're doing with, it's like, it was life skills cooking kind
yes.
of thing. I thought that was so great, you know. There's so many kids who have no idea how to fry an egg or, you know, make a burrito or whatever
yeah.
it is.
Yeah, debone a chicken, we just made a video because nobody knows how to clean chicken anymore.
That's good.
So tell me more about the new farming program and how many folks have signed up. Where are they coming from? Do they have experience?
Yep.
Are these truly folks that are just interested in getting into the business?
A lot are completely, I mean, they haven't even started yet. So they're just looking for land. And this upcoming series is really good because we have a tax assessor coming, which I think is the first time we've been able to get a tax assessor there in like 7 years. It's one of the biggest questions we get. For the tax implications. So I imagine we'll get some people who are already farming at this one because of that. But a lot of times they're completely green, they haven't even started yet. Because the folks who have already started don't have time to come to class anymore because they're busy trying to make ends meet. But that's who we go and visit on these classes. Really it becomes, are you sure you want to do this
yes.
type program?
I received a phone call from somebody in Brooklyn who wanted to farm, but he wanted a farm that was near a bus stop. So yeah, God bless you for dealing with those folks.
Well,
because it's tough work.
Yeah, we have people fly in for classes. We have people come from all over the country because we're in that sweet spot between close to New York City but far enough out that there's still land that folks can buy. You can lease 2 acres and give it a go.
Right.
And we'll help you with microgreens. A lot of folks have connections to, they know somebody has a restaurant in the city. And so maybe they've got a ready market. So they're gonna grow those things in a hoop house or a small hot house to bring to the city.
Do you do anything with farmers in transition? Those folks that might be aging out and they've got family members that are looking to take over the farm, but there's a lot of drama involved within that.
Yeah, we have succession planning programs. We have a business development expert who sits in Highland and travels all up and down the Hudson Valley, really, who will help families do that, because that's one of the biggest issues.
Yeah.
We want to make sure those farms stay with families.
Right. Great.
Can I ask one question?
Sure.
So to expand that, I don't remember if it was like in the New York Times. I saw a letter to the editor basically talking about how there's family farms who a family member doesn't actually want to take over.
Mm-hmm.
So you have folks that are needing to transition out, but they don't have anybody to leave the farms to or for anybody to take over. Do you have any programs that link new farmers to... Yeah, you do?
Yep, there's a several farm finders out there, and we partner with, I think Dutchess County has a really good farm locator, or farm navigator, it's called.
Yeah.
So folks can sort of contribute if they have something like that.
Okay.
I believe you're involved in the American Farmland Trust's farm finder program, too. Yeah, and that's very helpful. Good.
Thank
Any
you.
Questions? You made a long trip. No more questions?
I'll come back anytime you guys want.
I know, you know Seed Song Farm?
Yes.
They're doing such really interesting stuff, combining farming and the arts and social justice issues. So it seems like that's a, you know, big movement that's happening now. Is it's not just farming to make food. It's farming to connect with community in a really deep way. So.
Yes. And they're one of the only urban farms.
Right.
And they do such great program. They have a lot going on for Black History Month. Okay. We're working with them on the Black History of maple syrup production.
Cool.
So there's two sets, two groups of kids going out this month.
Nice.
Really interesting. We like working with them. Yep.
Are you doing this in bilingual too, as far as the new farmers go? Because there are so many.
Some.
Yeah.
Where we can. It's interesting in New York, so Ag and Markets, I was just up in Albany, and one of their pushes for this year will be diversity in farming. What we're seeing is increases in Latino farmers and women
right.
farmers. Black farmers have gone down by a lot. So that's going to be one of the pushes this year. But for our organizations, it's one of the things that we're trying to do more of. So I think our Ag leader is going to Comité Terra. It's the, Kingston Land Trust is doing something this month. Connecting Spanish speakers, and it's talking about the farm navigator and the urban farming programs.
Right, because that is not in Spanish, and it really should be now that I think about it.
Yep.
Yeah. Great. Well, thank you, Jared. I don't believe there's any old business, so we can adjourn if someone wants to make the motion. John? Thank you.
Second.
Okay. All in favor? All right. Thank you again for all coming.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you very much.